Well, if you're a visitor here, it's very good to see you. My name is Graham Nichols, one of the leaders here. And once a month, we have what we call an all-age service, where we try and speak to all ages. So not just to the children and not just to the adults, but try and pitch it somewhere in between and hopefully make something which is appropriate and relevant for all of us, as God's Word always is. So that's what we're about this morning, looking at Mark 10:45. Our verse for this year. I wonder, children, if you've ever asked for an outrageous present. What's the biggest present you've ever asked for? Yes?
A skateboard.
Well, that's quite a big present. Did you get one? Oh, you did? Oh. You should try asking something bigger next time. Yes?
A bike.
Oh, yeah. And did you get one of those? Wow. Any of the adults asked for any outrageous presents this year? I don't know. Yes, Robert, sorry.
World peace.
World peace, okay. You should have been a model or something. Miss World type of thing, I mean. Mr. World. Anybody else? Anybody asked for a car? Apart from my children. Yes, Marion? You've had a car, Marion, years ago, so that's... Well, I suppose a big present to ask for might be a car or something else. What was that, Abigail? What? An aeroplane. Oh, a helicopter, similar. Yes. Yeah, I'd quite like a helicopter. I'd never be late for anything then, would I? I don't know, though, really. It's all to do with how when you leave, isn't it? Or a boat or... A house. Who'd like a house for Christmas? I'd like a house. Well, most of us probably ask for things that we're more likely to get. The disciples in the bit of the Bible that we read in Mark's story about Jesus, they ask for something pretty outrageous. Two of the disciples, they're called, what's their names, the two who ask? Do you remember? Yes? James and John, they come up to Jesus and they make this request. It's probably worse than asking for a really big present. It's kind of like asking for a seat at the royal wedding. Do you know who Kate Middleton's going to marry? Yes? Prince William, yeah, I think so. It's Kate Middleton's birthday today, incidentally. Happy birthday, Kate. I heard that this morning on the radio, on Radio 2, which accidentally got turned on in my bedroom, which is a real tragedy, but anyway. It's her birthday, and I said to Caroline, who's she? She said, Kate Middleton. Keep saying Kate Middleton, and you'll think who she is, but anyway, eventually I got there. But just imagine, you didn't even know if you were going to be invited to that wedding, but you said, Prince William, do you mind if I sit in the royal carriage with you? I don't even know if you're going to invite me, but do you mind? That would be a bit rude, really, wouldn't it? And that's what the disciples are like. They're a bit rude. They make a silly request. They say, let us sit at your right and one at the other, sorry, and the other at your left in your glory. That's in verse 37. The disciples and Jesus are on their way to Jerusalem. Jesus is leading them there. And as he's leading them, at the same time, he's telling them about what's going to happen there. He says he's going to be killed disgracefully by the Romans. He says 3 days later, he's going to rise up again. He's going to come back to life. And they're not really sure, I think, whether to believe him or not. Some believe. Some are really scared. Some are just kind of, their heads exploding. They can't really make it out. And here comes the crazy ask. We're not sure what kind of king you're going to be, Jesus. We're not sure how all the dying bit fits in. But whatever happens, when you come to your glory, whatever your glory is, when you get there, we want seats of honour. One on the right, one on the left. You know how it is with your best friends? If you want to be really good friends with someone and know that you're good friends, you want to sit next to them in class or somewhere else. Well, can I sit next to you? Can I sit next to you? It's that thing. It's that seat of honour saying, we're the people who Jesus is honouring. It's really good that they think Jesus will have a kingdom, isn't it? Really good that they believe Jesus will have a kingdom. That's really good. Really awful that they want the glory. So that's the request. What about the response? Well, Jesus answers them very gently. He asks them a question about whether they're going to go through the suffering that he's going to go through. And he says, well, eventually you will. But specifically, sitting at my right hand and my left, having a place of honour, it's a no. It's not specifically for you. Now, how many disciples were there altogether, children? Do you want to tell me? How many altogether? 12. And James and John have gone to ask Jesus. So how many disciples are left? Maths and theology. How many are left? Yes? 10. Brilliant. There are 10 left. And the 10 who are left are indignant, which means they're really cross. They're really angry with James and John for asking this question. I wonder why. I wonder if they're cross because they realise how proud James and John are and how outrageous this request is. Maybe, but I think they asked because they wanted the seat of honour. We know that they often argue about who's the greatest. If you're adults and you're listening, chapter 9, verse 34... they're arguing then on the way about who's the greatest among them. And there are other places where they argue about that. So I reckon the other 12 were really cross because they're saying, why did you ask for the seats of honour? I want the seats of honour. You don't deserve it. I deserve it. I think that's why they were so cross, and I think that's what they were arguing about. Sounds like children in the playground, doesn't it? Arguing about who's the greatest. Have you ever done that, children? Have you ever done that, adults? Definitely. Who's the greatest? Who's the best? When we become adults, we develop more sophisticated ways of having this debate. But we still have this debate about who's the greatest. And sometimes we include ourselves in that debate and want to say about ourselves being the greatest. Because you see, most of us think we're pretty good. And the problem is we just haven't been discovered yet. Most of us think we're pretty good, at least at some things, and we want to be discovered. We want to be recognized as being the greatest. And Jesus says, look, in your world, the Roman world, the bosses boss people around. That's how it is. They give them orders, they have to follow them. You need to learn how to serve. You have to learn how to serve. And he says, you want to be a great servant, if you want to know how to serve, look at me. You see, Jesus is not one of those people who says, you've got to do this, but I'm not going to do it. You've got to do this, but don't look at me because I'm going to do something different. Jesus says, you've got to learn to serve. Now look at me. I'm going to show you how to serve. And that's what he does in our memory verse. He calls himself the Son of Man. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. When he says the Son of Man, he's using a special name. If you look back in Daniel 7, there's a prophecy about the Son of Man coming and being given all authority. And Jesus says, I'm God's promised king, a man, but a man sent from God. I'm the God-man. I'm the supreme ruler. And guess what? Here's the shocker. This promised king, this supreme ruler, this one who's given all honour and all glory, this man is going to show you what it is to serve. He came to serve. And he talks about that in our memory verse, which I've just thrown on the floor. So, do you want to try again, children, to tell me what the memory verse is? For even the did not come to be served. All together. Just start again because you're all muttering. I might put it on there for you. Where is it? Oh, I thought I had it on there. Maybe I didn't. Oh, yes. Okay. So look down or look up, whatever's best. But children particularly, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's our verse. That's where Jesus gets to. He tells his disciples they've got to serve, and then he shows them in his life how he is going to serve and encourages them to do the same. So Jesus serves. He didn't come to be served. You see, Jesus deserved to be served. He says, for even the Son of Man. Maybe he means in the same way as you need to serve, the Son of Man serves. But you could almost think of it like this. Even the Son of Man, the King of Glory, the Creator of the universe, did not come on a mission to be served. Angels worship him. God the Father loves him. He made everything. He owns everything. He controls everything. He deserves everybody's love. And he says, even him says, I came not to be served. That's not why he is here. His mission coming to this earth was not go down to earth and get worshipped. He deserves worship. He received some worship. But his mission was to serve. He gives up the right to be served and he serves. So he didn't come to be served, he comes to serve. And he serves in his life. His whole life was about serving others, wasn't it? Teaching, healing, being with them. Just think about the life of Jesus. From what you know of it, think about all the stories in the four Gospels. Was there a moment, really, when Jesus wasn't serving? Of course, he enjoyed times of rest, and he ate food, and he enjoyed times of friendship with people. Of course, that's the case. But can you think of a moment in Jesus' life when he wasn't serving, when, in fact, it wasn't pretty obvious that he was serving, that he wasn't giving? When did he ever do much more than meeting the basic needs of life? Can you think of a day when Jesus said, I can't be bothered to serve today. Look after me, you guys. Send a few angels down, Heavenly Father, because I really can't be bothered. Was there a day when Jesus didn't serve? He served in his life. Sometimes tired. Sometimes really downcast. Either because of the disciples not being very right in working out what he means, downcast as he was persecuted and people hated him, but always, always serving. He came to serve in his life. And of course he came to serve in his death. He came to serve in giving his life. We're going to look at this memory verse a bit later in the year and think particularly that Jesus gave his life as a ransom. That means to pay the price for our sin. To pay the debt that we owe God for all the wrong things that we've done. And there isn't a greater example of service than the example of Jesus. There's not a greater example. But more than that, there's not a greater example of service to those who didn't deserve it. Turning upside down what we might expect. Jesus came to serve in his life and serve in his death. People who didn't ask for it, who didn't deserve it, who didn't even want it. Jesus came to serve those who didn't deserve to be served. So Jesus doesn't come to be served, but to serve. Now I want to try and illustrate the serving and the reversing in a little illustration with this table here, and I need a couple of volunteers for that. The word for servant or service can be just to be someone who waits at tables. So I want two volunteers, if I could. Two volunteers who are brave. Okay, let me just get the table. Millie was one, and Samuela, you can be one if you like, I think. As soon as you both put your hands up first. Right. I'm sorry we couldn't get up on the stage, so not all of you might be able to see. But I want one of you to be, what's the kind of person who serves at tables? What are they called, Samuela? who brings you your food. What are they called? A waiter. That's a good answer. So you can be a waiter, or do you want to be the person who's the guest? He wants to be the guest, okay? That was a bad choice. Okay, well, you're a guest, so let's look like you're going out for dinner. Let's put a nice jacket on. That would be good. And because it's quite a posh dinner, you could wear a bow tie. Oh. Should have practiced this, shouldn't I? There we go. There's a nice bow tie. You're looking very smart. So if you want to come and sit here for dinner, that's very good. Now, here's a plate for you, for your dinner. And now you volunteered to be a waiter, well, a waitress, really. So if you want to put a beautiful apron on, Saltworks Cafe, product placement. And it's a bit hot, but you can... No, you got it the wrong way around. You've got to have the logo showing. Okay, here we go. Quick. All the adults are thinking this is going on too long. Why doesn't he get to the point? Here we go. Right, so you can be the waitress. And just stick this over your head as well. Just so you really, really look like a person who's waiting. There we go. Excellent. Well, on the menu... Oh, there's a little fork as well there. Just to make it really good. Now, on the menu today, we have fruit shoots. And a bit of a squashed up... What do you call them? Little cakes. What do you call those little cakes? You said fairy cakes. Oh, thank you. Sorry. I had a little mental block. So, what would you like, fruit shoots and fairy cakes? Okay. Well, here's where the little twist comes, you see. Because you're the guest and you're the waitress. But actually, Jesus says, we've got to try and think about swapping that around. So, actually, I'm going to get Samuela to serve Millie. Okay, so if you want to swap places, so Millie sits down, she's a waitress, but she's had a very hard day. She's been working very hard, and you're the guest, but because you're such a nice guest, you're going to serve her. So if you ask her what kind of fruit shoot she wants? Quick! Okay, you're having one of those. I'm a really nice waiter. And would you like a fairy cake? Would you like to serve her the fairy cake? Okay, would you want to put it on the plate and sort of open it up for her like a nice waiter? It's a little bit squashed, but other than that, it's very nice. So you can have a bit if you'd like. Yes, you can, if you'd like. I don't know, you'll have to ask your mum and dad. Can he have all of it? Yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much. So you were the waitress and you were the guest, but you're the guest who's serving the waitress. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Do you want to take that away? Don't make a mess. Do you want that?
Yeah.
Do you want that? Good. Thank you very much. Yeah, you do. That's really simple and really easy, but just a way. Sorry, do you want me to get that apart from? It could be hours trying to get that off. There we go. Thank you very much, you two. Really simple way of trying to illustrate serving, which is like waiting at a table, and then swapping round. So, Jesus says, I'm the Son of Man, but I came to serve, not to be served. I'm like the best guest. I'm like the one who deserves the best food and the best wine and the best table and the best service. But guess what? I'm putting the apron on and I'm going to do the serving. So Jesus serves. And very simply, as we finish, he calls us to serve. He calls us to serve. Jesus calls us to serve whoever needs it. Whether they deserve it or not, or whether we think they deserve it or not, Jesus calls us to serve others. You see, our natural inclination is to want to be served. How many times have you said to your children something like, what did your last servant die of? Because as we grow up and develop, we want to be served. We want to be brought stuff. We want to have our washing put in the washing up thing. And we want to have nicely ironed clothes, you know, and we want everything to be clean and nice and the dinner to be ready. And we want to be served. But Jesus says, go against your natural inclination for people to serve you and serve whoever needs it. So when you're at school, don't just serve those who are your friends, but serve those who are perhaps not very popular. Serve those, look after those who maybe are a bit annoying sometimes. Serve those who do you harm. In the church, we got to serve those who can be a bit annoying sometimes. We've got to serve those who we think don't deserve it. Sometimes we have to serve people when we think, why am I doing this? Because they could do it themselves. Sometimes we have to serve like that. Serve those who we don't think deserve it or merit it in some way. It's not about deserving. It's about us choosing to serve. So serve whoever needs it. Serve sacrificially. Did anybody tell you that being a Christian was totally easy and you never have to give up anything? They were lying, weren't they? To be a Christian, to follow Christ, sometimes you have to give up things. Sometimes you have to give up things that are just plain wrong. So you have to stop sinning. But other times you have to give up things that are all right to do, but you give them up so you can do something else, so you can serve others. Sometimes you're watching the TV and someone asks you for help. You have to give it up. You have to go and help. Sometimes you have to give up your money. Sometimes you have to give up your time in some other way. This week, I hope some of us give up some time to serve in praying for one another. Sometimes we have to give up some time to go and visit someone and be friends with somebody. Sometimes we have to give up some time, we have to give up our Friday night to help at a children's group, or we have to give up some time during the week so we can help at one of the Sunday teaching groups. Serving means sacrifice. You see, Jesus never says, I want some me time. I want to be fulfilled. I want to be satisfied. I want to just take it easy. I want to be served for a while. I want something when I'm recognized and when I'm served. Now, in God's goodness, we get some rest time and we get people who are very kind to us and who take care of us. So it's not totally 100% activity. But sometimes we just want so much. We're consumers and we're not prepared to give anything up. Serve sacrificially. And lastly, make service your big ambition, your primary goal, the big thing you're aiming for. Jesus says, do you want to be a great follower of me? And the disciples will all be going, yeah, I want to be a great follower of you. Maybe I'll get back in that position of glory. Jesus says, if you want to be a great follower of me, then learn to serve. Do you want to be a great Christian? Then learn to be the least. Then learn to serve. Then learn to take care of others. Then learn to give up your time. Then learn to serve those who maybe don't deserve it or you don't think they deserve it. What would it look like if we had a church of servers? I think it would look different to what it looks now. I think it would look better. Let's give thanks to God. There are many serving in this church, and it's great. But what would it look like if we really start serving? If we really grab hold of this? What would it look like at your schools if you really want to follow Jesus and serve every day? What would it look like in your homes if you really want to follow Jesus and serve every day? Why do you want to be the center of your world? Why do you want to be served? Why don't you want to serve like Jesus says? Make service your big ambition, your primary goal. So that's our verse, that's our motto. That's something we want to really think about as we begin this year together. Not wanting to be served, but to serve. Of course, Jesus serves in the supreme way. He gives his life for many. He gives his life for us. But we want to follow him as much as we can and say, I want to serve. How did you come here this morning? Did you come here to church this morning thinking, well, let's just tick the box, there's another meeting I've got to go to? Did you come thinking, I wonder what I'm going to get from this morning? I wonder if it's going to please me. I wonder if it's going to serve me. I wonder if I'm going to like the hymns. I wonder if I'm going to like the preacher. I wonder if it's going to be too long or too short or too loud. I wonder if it's going to suit me. Is that how we came to church this morning? How did I come to church this morning? I wonder if they're going to like me. I wonder if they're going to say afterwards, that was a good sermon, I like that very much. I wonder if they're not going to say that. Why did I come to church this morning? Why did you come to church this morning? Did we come to serve? Did you come to serve? Is that a new idea? I'm coming this morning to serve. I'm going to serve because I'm really going to follow along what's said. I'm going to serve because I'm going to encourage my brothers and sisters, because I'm going to sing loudly and I'm going to follow along with the prayers and I'm going to chat with them. I'm going to try and encourage them. I've come to serve. And if I'm asked to do something, I want to do it because I came to serve. What kind of a church would we be if we were like that? Much more to God's glory. So I encourage you, come, live with that attitude to serve. Who are you going to serve today? How are you going to serve them today? Why are you going to serve them today? You're going to serve them because you want to follow Christ. You're going to serve them sacrificially. You're going to serve anyone who's in need.